Okay, welcome to the You Matter Show podcast. I'm Mark Brudinsky, host of the You Matter Show. And we do this based on one thing, that the deepest principle of human nature is the craving to be appreciated. It's not just a want or a desire or a wish, it's a craving. You got food, you've got shelter, then you have value and appreciation. There are people that die of things like loneliness. Can't live without food, can't live without a roof over your head. And you can't live without being part of the social tribe and feeling like you make a difference. It's a concept of the show. I love having guests on here. One of my favorite people that I've met over the past probably 20 years, Nestor Aparicio. You know him if you've paid any attention to sports in the past, what, three decades plus in this town of Baltimore, that Nestor has made a big impact here. I'm happy to have him. He's got a big deal going on in the next few weeks related to Super Bowl week and always looking to make a difference. I mean, Baltimore Positive, right? Be More Positive is Nestor's platform. So Nestor, welcome to the You Matter Show.
Blade, can I call you Blade? Am I one of the people allowed to call you? How many people call you Blade, Mark?
Probably about 10 people my whole life.
Now. Oh, really? I was going to say 10%. No, yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of stunning. Hey, thank you for the kind introduction. And, you know, it's my 25th anniversary of owning the radio station. And we're doing this thing called WNST Stories of Glory. And our friends at the Curio and Far and Dotted, which is why I'm wearing the Blunt Person shirt, sponsor it. And they said, what's it going to be? And I said, well, I'm trying to add up the things that were like the greatest hits. You know what I mean? Like the things that people come up to me all these years later, and I guess to your point, I call it love or gratitude, you know, in my vernacular, you call it appreciation. That's nice. My last name's Aparicio, so I appreciate that because it's kind of close to my name. But people come up to me and there's a commonality, right? I mean, I'm 55 now, and I started this when I was 23. I really started it when I was 15 at the News American, working with John Stedman and just a whole bunch of really cool people. Mark Hyman, who runs the Journalism Institute down at Maryland right now, the Merrill Center, and just wonderful people at the News American, Michael Olesker, all these people. Then I went to the Sun, and you know, I think you were Channel 13 around that time in the late 80s. I tried out for the John Buren job, by the way. Sam Caveras is still upset that he didn't get the gig. I had him on last week in Jacksonville. So, you know, my life took a different direction in doing radio and all that, but I've been on the air 32 plus years now. Kenny Albert, free plug for him, A Mic for All Seasons. He just wrote a book. He was my first guy. He's the one who said, Nestor, you should do radio with me. We're going to do a New York style sports radio show. And I said, I know a lot about sports. Do I know enough, I think, is the way I felt about it. And then I got on the air and I'm like, there's nothing I know more about. There's nothing I'm more equipped to do than talk about Baltimore sports because I'm a guy that went goes to the post. I'm a guy that was there when the plane went into the upper deck. I was there when, you know, Catfish Hunter and Jim Palmer squared off in 74. Like, so I the sports side of it was cool. And then it was sort of like your ego kicks in. You're like, I want to have an audience. And I want to have an audience because I want to walk through White Marsh Mall with my kid and have somebody come and say, hey, I listen to your show and I like your show and I like what you think about sports and I learn things from you and you make me laugh. And but that was the radio side 32 years. And like the first time somebody recognizes you, you never forget it. And then after that, it was more like, how can I build something with this audience? And that happened, man, 1996. I'm on the air 91. 93 and 4, I was working with Ed Block right away because of my relationship with Larry Harris at the Baltimore Sun, who worked with Ed Block and Sam Lamantia, whose son still cuts my hair when I get my hair cut. Gentlemen's gentlemen, get over to Joppa Road, make an appointment or not, just walk in. Walk-in's welcome. In the 90s, like I did this thing called the Nice Guy Awards to raise money for Ed Block and to get out and see people. And it's just funny I'm on your show today, man, because like I'm literally releasing all of this because we're taping this in January. The Ravens may or may not win the Super Bowl by the time people hear this, and that's cool. But I'm going through Whiskey Joe's, the march in New Orleans, Mile High Miracle, the bus trip up to Foxborough when we lost, and then the one where we won, and like Free the Birds, and like all of these 25 memories. And I guess the thing about me doing them, and even my wife said this morning, we were out doing a yoga class. She's like, hey, you're working really hard on these memories. I'm like, well, I feel like it's sort of like for somebody that just comes in on the outside and says, what are you proudest of? Or what do people come up to you and say, man, that was the greatest day of my life. And you made it happen, or you were a part of it, or you threw a trip, or you introduced me to someone, or you did something that is beyond, I heard you on the radio talking about Peter Angelos, or, you know, like something that I'm proud of Free the Birds. It's number two, but putting all this out, it really is about, like, people appreciate you and they come up and it makes you feel good. And, you know, part of sharing these memories is it means something to them and it means something to you. And it shows up on your timeline. Instead of all the crap, they come on and say, hey, man, I had a great time with you that day. I'm glad your wife's alive. I'm glad you're doing okay. Glad I can still put you on the radio. I'm glad that, you know, so I was trying to do something for my 25th anniversary that mirrored our Super Bowl stuff that we had done and do something that's more charity based, because most of those segments, Super Bowl week, as you know, it's somebody coming around talking about a charity, right? It's a celebrity in front of a brand wanting you to buy sponsored for on behalf of Wounded Warriors or on behalf of sick children or, you know, whatever the cause would be. And that's really where my radio station's gone the last 10 years and my life's gone, is sort of like telling good stories that might matter, might teach you something. But more than that, you'll appreciate the time you spend listening, I guess.
And that's it. Like you said, the first time walking through White Marsh Mall, someone comes up to you and says, hey, thank you. I've listened to your show. It made a difference. You're giving back. That's what you're doing. It's not about talking necessarily about controversy. It's about you diving into something that you love, which is sports, growing up in the area, right? And just making a difference for other people because you want to provide great value. That's the whole concept here, right? It's value and appreciation. You're giving back to other people. So they come up to you and say, thank you for doing something for me.
Yeah. I'm moving into a different place where, especially after, you know, the guy that ran the country for 4 years and God forbid he runs it again, but feeling like there's some value in being trusted and there's some value in truth and integrity over the body of my work. I mean, there are days when I really feel like, and I don't watch a lot of movies, but I know that movie that where he's on television, his whole life's out, you know, every single day. It's like 30 years ago, the comedian Jim Carrey was in the movie.
I can't think of the name.
I'm trying to think of the name of the movie where he was just like the subject of his own television thing. And there are definitely days I feel that way. But all these years later, man, people listen to the station. They Facebook, they tweet, they Instagram, they watch blogs, they listen because they feel a sense of, I was at the barn with that guy years ago. I listened to him whenever I went on his road trip. He was nice to me. His wife almost died. Like, oh, whatever they think of me, good or bad. And I did learn this from Howard Stern way before anybody ever recognized me, that if they hate you, they'll listen longer. It's really weird, man. They never go away. And in the era of the internet, sometimes I think I can say this here because no one of substance will make it this far into this. But there, you know, I thought I wanted the biggest audience possible when I began for ratings. And I mean, come on, you worked in local television. It didn't matter what, you know, who your audience was, how many teeth they had, what their hairstyle was, what their thoughts were, what their craziness. You just needed numbers. We need numbers, you know? And like with me, yeah, like as it's gotten, you know, it's more streamlined, especially since I've gone to Baltimore Positive, especially since it's just not all sports. And really, you mentioned like the negativity of being a sports radio. Like I defy you to find a piece of tape where I ever sat here or met with any employee. And I had employees for 17, 18 years where I employed lots and lots of people. Some you can hear down the dial, some you see on TV these days, but I never told them what to say or how to say it or what restrictions other than, and I've been sued. I've had, you know, crazy stuff with an FCC license, but like I never sat here and I did work in that environment, dude. You know, I was nationally syndicated where every Monday morning they call and say, you know, what shit you're going to stir up this week, you know? And I'm like, how about we just talk about sports? Like the way my dad would want to hear it, the way I was taught. I don't need all of that us versus them. And I don't need acrimony and conflict to be the basis of my audience or what I would want them to listen to. And you know why, Blade? Because I wouldn't want to listen to it, man. And I don't listen to it. And I can't listen to it. And I can't sanction it in my own space. And sometimes my place got toilety because of the people I hired who thought, like, I can be Howard Stern. No, you can't. I thought I could be the grease man. he didn't have a job the last 25 years of his life because there's an edge, you know what I mean, for everything. And, you know, and my wife's illness, we're coming up on the 10th anniversary on March 20th. It'll be 10 years since she was diagnosed with leukemia the first time, the second time. And if you follow the story, go to Jen Strong. Don't make me cry. I'm going to say to you what Geddy Lee said to Alex, like, don't make me cry. I'll be no good if I'm crying. But
I was writing her story a decade ago. I remember meeting you and her in your condo, and we did it on my blog. We talked about what was going on and shared the story. And so happy that she's doing well now.
Well, so are we, you know, and then life takes a turn and you just do something different. And, you know, I've been forced out by the Ravens, thrown out by the Orioles. I've been very, very vocal and on the record with every fiber of my integrity and who I am and who I've always been, speaking the truth about how I was treated by a football franchise that I supported fully, wholly, as a citizen, as a journalist, with accountability for my audience. And the minute they wanted to turn me into a quacking duck is the minute that they threw me out. And, I'm still here and we're still doing things. And I guess that's really at the core of what I'm doing in a couple of weeks, is that I did 27 Super Bowls. So,
wow.
I don't need to tell you. So that sounds like, okay, I got pictures there. I'm at games. Sometimes I was in a Get Nasty shirt. Sometimes I was in a Raven hat. Sometimes I was in an Oiler jersey. Sometimes I was in the upper deck paying to get in. Sometimes I was in the press box. Sometimes I was put in the press tent and could barely get into the – sometimes I was 10 feet from Bruce Springsteen or you know, whatever. But I worked my ass off, right, to have a radio station, to have a life, to have a business, to be supported by people, to be trusted by people, to not be an asshole on the radio and to be a hater and to be caustic and to be a fire the coach and bench the quarterback and play along race lines and all that stuff that callers did that I hosed down. You know, I was the grown-up as the host, not the instigator in any of this. And a lot of this is really borne out by how bad the baseball owner has been and how that my radio station became the place to bitch about how bad they were because they didn't have a PR department to answer the phone to fix cold hot dogs and warm beer. Right. Like, and like all of that, that, so it became a place to bitch and I didn't want it to be that, you know, I wanted it to be better than that. And on our best days, people don't come up to me and say, hey, I remember that rant about whatever. They come up and say, I did that charity thing at the Nice Guy Awards, or I met Brian Billick in Essex one day with you and you were running around eating crab cakes, and, you know, or I, whatever, you know, like they come up with something that is mainly really good and nice and makes you feel appreciated and you feel like, oh, I've made some impact. That's why they're still here. That's why they walked up to me in the supermarket when I'm getting toilet paper and want to take a selfie with me, which has happened, by the way, Eastern Avenue Shoppers, true. But it happened in Wise Markets. That's my sponsor, but like, but it's happened. So, but I would say this to you, like the Super Bowl thing for me and going out and taking 8 employees at one point and getting 3 hotel rooms and having it be a $25,000-$30,000 expense to go do it live, ISDN lines, things you know about, to get broadcast going years ago, where the bill from the convention center would be $4,000, you know, for broadcasting for a week in Miami Beach, and then hotel, like all of that that we did to have Adam Sandler on the show, or to have Dan Marino or Joe Montana or whomever, Deacon Jones on the show, stop at the set. We did that to support Baltimore, to be the only Baltimore voice at the Super Bowl where Baltimore was represented, where all of our champions started coming in, whether it's Ray Lewis, Rod Woodson, Trent Dilfer in the beginning. All these guys worked in media. They were always around. Goose, God rest his soul. I mean, all those people, Shannon Sharp, every year would come by because, like, Baltimore mattered. We won a Super Bowl early. So I did all of these years. I got thrown out. You can go read about it. Chad Steele, Google him and, you know, Google my work on that. But I was trying to think of, what am I going to do Super Bowl week that is going to fill that place for me, which is, it's the biggest week of the year and you're taking this away from me and screwing my business and demanding that my employee go instead of me and telling the National Football League that I'm no longer legitimate when I'm in business with the federal government with an FCC license for 25 years now. I need to do something that week that isn't bitchy or shitty or awful, or like I need to do something that's for me, that moving forward I can build off of and do something good, because we did do good work that week, right? Like every time Joe Montana would come on and pimp Guinness, there would be something they were doing for a fund for football or for something that was charitable. And I thought, you know what, I want to do something that week. And the crab cake tour, dude, you've been inspirational. You didn't even realize, but like the crab cake tour and getting out and talking to people, this all started when you came to my house and my wife was bald and 80 pounds. And you're like, I'm trying to serve the world better than just being a producer, Channel 13, where we, correct, if it bleeds, it leads. And, you know, you were at a point in your life, and the Baltimore Positive thing came because of people like you. And I'll plug even people like Ken Roshan, who pops up on my Facebook, and guys like you that hold up little signs that try to pick people's spirits up, you know, like you matter, right? Like that, right? And so, you know, this conversation started into, then we had a plague, right? And there's no secret that I had some political aspirations for the city before 2020. And then Brandon won and we all started wearing masks and stuff was crazy. In the coming out of that plague in 2021, I thought, what's something that could bring people together? Black people, white people, Republicans, Democrats, Harford County, Baltimore City, East, West, non-denominational. And I thought, every place has a crab cake. And I all these pictures I had of me and Ray Lewis and Brian Billick from 30 years ago, Cal Ripken and I had a crab. I have a picture, you know? And I thought, man, crab cakes, that'll hold it together. It's a conversation starter. It's like ping pong democracy, you know? In Baltimore, East, West, mine's better. My grandmother made a better one. Mine's Old Bay, mine's Salty, mine's J.O., whatever it is. So I thought about this tour, and I've been doing this very successfully. The Maryland Lottery, Goodwill, Window Nation, Jiffy Lube. I mean, so many, Raskin Global, so many sponsors, because that's what it takes to feed me and to feed the FCC and to pay rent and to employ Luke and to pay bills and to have a website and like all of that. But I've been so well supported. And through all of it, like I haven't done anything charitable since my wife survived the second time. I'm going through like our Night of Heroes when I had Tomlin and Billick and Harbaugh downtown and speaking. That's number 4 on the top 25. I did these this morning, so they're on the top of my head.
And you should talk more about that. You had people coming out to get checked, right? To see if they could.
To get swabbed for the bone marrow registry. Yes, my wife, I didn't even mention, my wife had leukemia in 2014-15. You can go to Jen Strong. ThereGoesMyHero.org is the organization we've worked with. And LLS, where I'm doing stuff for them lately. They inspired me too. Oh, you LLS people, you came down to Costas and you got me all going back before. Got me all crying on the air back in December. And I called her. I'm like, you broke me. They were trying to get me to run for Visionary of the Year. And I said, I'm not worthy, like Alice Cooper. And but it got me going on this idea that I'm doing next month because of all these charities. And I go back now and I see the Nice Guy Awards and I see things I did. I have plaques. I have wall hangings. I have statues. For doing stuff that was just like, yes, 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 yes. Leukemia, Nietzsche, yes. And never thinking my wife was going to have leukemia. My wife's found stuff that I did for LLS before I knew her. You know, and I'm like, I remember the jacket I wore that night. Was that the thing at Michael's AFAT? You know, like you remember these things all these years later. And I try to think about like using the airwaves that I have in the same way you use the bandwidth you have to try to move the world along in a better place. I thought, what can I do that's cool? What's the coolest thing I've ever seen? Blade, what's the coolest charity thing when you think of the most awesome charity thing you've ever seen in your years on the planet? What would you say is number one? What's a cool charity thing that you...
When I was younger,
mm-hmm.
Let's step back in time because we're both over 50. I'm a few years older mm-hmm. than you. But the coolest thing you'd see around Labor Day was a Jerry Lewis telethon. That was the spectacle.
It is my inspiration, dude. There was never a Jerry Lewis telethon I didn't watch, right? Like literally, right? And honestly, I was all... And don't laugh at me and don't think I'm playing games because I'm not. I was always waiting for Lou Rawls, Tony Orlando and Dawn, or Engelbert Humperdinck. And my favorite, of course, I saw a Sofia Vergara thing. Shadow. Hoochie-coo. When Shadow would come on every year, you know, and Jerry's doing his act. And I didn't even know anything about Jerry Lewis, about the clown act and about the 50s and about the drag and about Lemon. I don't know any of that, like at all, right? I just know him as a kid on Labor Day weekend, beginning when I was very young, always watching it. And I thought there's a marathon thing. And, you know, people do 100 hours on the air and you lose your mind and all that. I'm not doing that, man. I'm doing a marathon We're going to call it Crab Cake Row. And we're calling it Crab Cake Row because Radio Row's at the Super Bowl. We've been thrown off of there. So we're going to call it Crab Cake Row. Inspired by my 28 years of doing a week-long marathon broadcast, where we really got to an ice-cold convention hall at 6 in the morning in Miami Beach, where it was 51 outside, 91 outside, 51 inside, in sweatshirts with our nose running under these lights, waiting for like Dan Marino to walk by and begging him to come on. So there was 12 hours a day of 5 days a week, and that's 60 hours a week of doing that, right? And I was freaking worn out. Last thing I wanted to do on Saturday was chase Warren Moon around the pool. I just wanted to be like, most times by Saturday, I was decompressed, especially as I got older. So what we're doing this week's 40 hours. I'm going to do Crab Cake Row. We're going to be a 9 to 5. And I haven't been live on the radio since my wife got cancer. We haven't been live on the radio since September 2014. We've been in a podcast format before, when the kids didn't even know what podcasts were. It'd be 10 years in September that we've been not live. We're going to go live all week. We're going to stream live all week. And we are going to feature 100 charities. That's my Jerry Lewis thing, right? Like, I want to do 20 charities a day, telling their story in a 15 to 20 minute window, the way you would professionally want to say, tell me about your charity. Tell me your story. Tell me why it matters. Tell me how we can give. And have action points for everyone, and wrap that around potentially the Ravens being in the Super Bowl this year, next year, any year. And we really tried to have an overriding charity. A lot of years ago, I did Ed Block. And again, the whole goal is here to use my airwaves and my bandwidth and people and goodwill and restaurants and local people. My ask of my restaurants is kind of cool. So my son always has the best ideas. You know, my son's 39 now. And I called him before Christmas. Dude, I got this idea to do Crab Cake Row. And I like, it needs to be charitable. It needs to have fun. I'm thinking about this Jerry Lewis thing. And he said, Dad, it's Super Bowl week. You got to do something with soup. And I said, well, if we're going to do soup, and it is February 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. And we're talking, just got cold here this week. I'm in a soup kind of mode. We need to do this for the food bank, man, because my friend Wayne Kostrowski, I would encourage everyone who's a good person to Google him, K-O-S-T-R-O-S-K-I, Wayne Kostrowski, out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, 30 years ago, dreamed up this thing called Taste of the NFL. And every year he would come by Radio Row at the Super Bowl and talk about hunger and abundance and feeding people. And he built this thing from nothing and turned Nancy Longo from Pure Point Restaurant down. It's just one of my favorite people. She was every year the chef, and there would always be a celebrity there. Marty Bass and I were the celebrities sitting in for Ernest Biner at the Super Bowl 35 in Tampa, because Ernest was in the game. He was a coach. He signed up to do it, and then the Ravens made the Super Bowl, and they didn't have a celebrity. So poor Marty and I wasn't much of a celebrity then. I was just Maynard Dean for just getting Marty drinks at that time. But so all these years later, I just met with Wayne last week about hunger and about having Carmen Del Guecho on my show in the middle of the pandemic on Baltimore Positive, talking about food insecurity and the importance of it. And so we're going to shed light on that all week. And our gimmick, our hook, we're calling it a cup of Super Bowl week, a cup of Super Bowl, because Blade, we're going to offer you a cup of soup or a bowl of soup when you come in on Monday at Fadley's at the New Lexington Market. And they got great Maryland crab, great cream of crab. All my places do. Tuesday, we're going to be at Costas in Dundalk. Wednesday, we're going to be at Coco's in Lauraville. Delicious soups there as well. Thursday, we're going to be over at State Fair in Catonsville. And then on Friday, because the Ravens might be in the Super Bowl, we're going to move it to the biggest space we have, which is Pappas in Cockeysville. One of my partners, great folks there, Steve and everybody, Justin. So we're going to be live all week, 20 charities a day, 100 charities over the week, all to benefit the Maryland Food Bank. If folks come, they get a free cup of bowl of soup for bringing goods for the Maryland Food Bank and supporting the cause and coming by. And I hope everybody makes it by, and we'll have all the crap up at Baltimore Positive. So
it's a great cause, dude. Yeah, the Jerry Lewis telethon takes your way back. But yeah, that was the Super Bowl of all telethons, right? So I think what you're doing is great. As I'm hearing you talk too, Nestor, I mean, it's the building blocks of everything that you've done, right? It's experience after experience after experience, story after story after story. And you mentioned a word there that starts with the letter I. And I think it's honorable, that you never wanted to be the instigator, right? But now you're in a position where you want to make impact. That's what I hear, right? It's impact. It's what we all want, especially as you cross over age 50, you start to look back at your life, the things that you've done, and what do you want to do moving forward? We have a moment where like it really is about giving back, about what can we do for humanity that's going to make a difference in our zone of genius, because we know that's where we shine. And when you shine, the light is accepted, you know, by other people. They want to bask in it, and they want to also help to spread that light. And that's what you're doing. I mean, you're doing it again. You've done it many times before, but now it's really, like you said, a Super Bowl of charity. I'm happy to come by and, you know, even say hi. I don't have a charity associated with this, but
I'm getting a cup or a bowl, or you're getting Maryland a cream. This is going to become this is sort of like around Thanksgiving. We'd ask, are you pumpkin or are you pecan or you apple? What's your soup, man? What's your go-to?
Mine?
Yeah.
Chicken noodle.
We're going to do crab soup. You've opened a whole new can of soup is what you've opened for me. You just put me in a soup. Because now I'm thinking to myself, maybe this is a chance for my five restaurants to show off with an alternate soup. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife makes, and I'm not just like bragging on my wife because I had her split pea last night.
That's my number two, split pea.
Yeah, my wife, after Christmas, because my wife goes away for Christmas with her family and then comes home on Christmas Day, and I buy the ham every year. And every year I try, because Wise gives me the reward points, so they don't care how big the ham is. So I try to get the biggest ham. My wife's like, it's just the two of us eating. And I'm like, no. We're going to do lima bean soup. We're going to do split pea soup. And now my wife caught on to this New Year's Eve thing with the black eyed peas. I don't know about, do you know about this? New Year's Eve, black eyed peas, good luck. This is new to me. Apparently, it's a Southern thing. So my wife's now taking some of the ham, and she's, you know, sort of pushed that off to the side for this black-eyed pea. So I have a lot of soup, a lot of flatulence, I must add, you know, beginning of the year, January. But we have delicious soups. And, I will request chicken noodle soup now that I know that. See, you're a noodle soup for the soul guy, right? Chicken soup for the soul guy, right?
I'm a Jewish guy too, right? That's my number one go-to, right?
I'm a matzo ball soup fiend, if you put it in front of me, man.
Noodle, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, it is winter, so I will make sure that there's a chicken-based broth, get well for your soul soup on everybody's menu that week, all right? Well, we're not going to limit this to folks that may or may not like cream of crab or Maryland crab, all right?
And I'm happy to come in and raise money for Maryland Food Bank. Let's talk about the movement and then see who wants to donate and bring in, like I said, cans of soup or whatever they want to donate in terms of cash. And
now your charity's humane. Be more humane though, right?
Yeah, with Baltimore Humane Society too. So there's nothing wrong with helping animals.
Listen, I have the most beautiful creature in the world about 4 feet outside my door waiting for me. And we saw her in a little cage at on Nicodemus Road at Northwest Baltimore, and fell in love with her. Both of our cats came from Baltimore Humane. So, dude, I plug this kind of ish in the middle of my shows all the time and tell people, this is my chance to just jump on it for a week and have everybody who has something that's important to them, including Baltimore Humane and Barks and our friends at Chesapeake Feline Rescue and like all the places that they do SPCA, they do good work. I'm just being completely non-denominational to say, come and tell me something good. I'm not in Las Vegas at the Super Bowl this week chasing around Snoop Dogg, playing catch with Kurt Warner, you know, helping the Wounded Warriors, though. I like doing that. But by the way, they put me in the amputee game with Kurt Warner and Snoop Dogg and those guys because I'm missing a finger. So here, I got a guy missing a leg from Afghanistan, from up in Wisconsin. I met him on the David Letterman show in New York 12 years ago. Every year he invites me on. We're Facebook friends, the whole deal. And he says, you can get in the game because you're an amputee. And I'm like, I felt like a sissy getting in. You know what I mean? But these Super Bowls meant something to me. You know that, Blade, right? And having it taken away, there's a real hole spiritually. I mean, this has been an awful thing that the Baltimore Ravens have done to me and my family and my bit. I'm not running from that at all. But we're going to do something good with it. I'm going to do something good with my time here left on the planet, my time left Monday through Friday, Super Bowl week, instead of flying off to wherever Roger Goodell thinks he can make the most money, I'm going to do it here in the community, and we're going to do it for 100 charities. And we'll see how many people can make me cry that week. You know, let's see, you know, that should be the goal. Let's see how many times if you get me to cry, it costs me $100 or something. You know what I mean? I got to give to the charity if you make me cry, you know, I got to do something, dude. Now we're getting somewhere, Blade. Now you give me ideas for year two. So
make Nestor cry. Look, I keep this note on my desk. It's kind of what we're talking about too, right? When you talk about charities and trying to help.
Can I read it out loud?
Go ahead.
Your struggle will be your gift that the world will fall in love with. Wow.
It's the truth.
All right.
Right. It's sharing your scars. What people are doing when they're coming in to tell their stories. They're either telling their stories about themselves or someone they were associated with or something that they know about. It's sharing the scars of the people that we meet in life. It's not always the struggle either. The struggle is kind of the wound. The scar is how you overcame that. And actually by helping other people to overcome their own wounds, we're creating scars for them that they'll then be able to share their story with other people. And how community helped change their lives. Because not everybody can do it by themselves. We're all part of the social tribe. In fact, almost no one can do it themselves, right? We all need support. So being part of this human race, we all need each other. The whole purpose of this You Matter movement, the whole purpose of things that you're doing. And I love the fact that you're always true to yourself, Nestor, which is so important to me, because I truly believe that everyone should be exactly who they're supposed to be. Everybody's a miracle, a masterpiece, and a hero. You should never run away from that.
Now it helps me sleep. You know, I sleep well. That's what I tell people. I sleep well telling the truth. So if you see it out of Baltimore Positive, you hear it come out of my mouth. And if I'm in error or I'm wrong, I mean, the governor accused me of putting falsities out on the air. And I said, well, whoa, stop right now. Let's talk. Cause like that doesn't sit well with me. I mean, I don't put falsities out here. And that's my brand. And that's that, you know, like there's no negotiation on my integrity, right? Like there's just not. And anybody that knows me knows that. And it's the people who love me because of it. And people hate me more because of it. So I've learned
right now. I'm reading Elon Musk's biography written by Walter Isaacson, right? Love him or hate him, he's always exactly who he is. And he's made some pretty big impacts in the world. So it is really when we look back what you're going to do for other people that's going to matter. And you've done a lot of that, whether it's just talking on the radio, which is entertaining people, give them information. And rarely is that going to anyway be vanilla, because drama is actually what attracts people when it comes to storytelling. You know, if you opened up a book or you turn on the radio and everything's fine, right? Turn to the next channel. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Nobody would listen. It is about the story has to have certain elements to it. So
back in the day, I called myself Nasty Nestor, right? So, you know, I mean, so, right. So sure. Anybody that's been around and people say why? And I'm like, well, actually, Mike Ricigliano, the cartoonist, sports cartoonist from the Baltimore Sun, is one of my best friends in the world. His kids, I sent them to bed early one night. I lost the bet and I had to babysit his rambunctious 6 and 4 year old boy when my kid was 3 or like, no, maybe 5, 7, and 8. It was a nightmare, right? Like we're talking, you know, I put in the bed early, started calling me Nasty Nestor, and I went with it. And somebody once said, why do you call yourself Nasty Nestor? And I'm like, if I called myself nice, you wouldn't listen, you know? So, but that was 30 years ago. And, you know, here we are all these years later. And the one thing I'll say about sports and just my background in that, and my last name's Aparicio. Yes, I'm related to him, like the whole deal. Still collecting a little couple weird baseball cards. I got a 1964 like Wheaties card that I didn't even know existed. So I'm an Aparicio guy. I'm a baseball guy. I'm a sports guy. I'm a football guy. Colts, Ravens, the whole thing. Nothing brings people together like it in a tribal sense. And I'm still weeding my way through what the new media is, you know, like where criticism is and where accuracy is and where gambling is and where civic pride is and where greed and avarice take over, where guys are making $50 million a year. And, you know, are they going to live in the community? They're going to be a part of the community. How much over my lifetime has it mattered for guys like Cal Ripken, who've made a life here, versus people who haven't made a life here? And I think the one thing I take out of all of these years is man, we're like in a community where very few people leave. I can give you a handful of people that moved to Florida or Arizona at some point, or met a mate that later in life moved somewhere. But Calvert Hall people stay, Dundalk people stay, Woodlawn people stay. We talk, you know, you're still here, I'm still here. There is a point where I'd like to find a real place where we take better care of each other. And because that's the only thing that's really going to lift the city back up. And for whatever Governor Schaefer's faults may or may not have been in retrospect, and whatever old politics and old world, the things that made the city great again, the things that lured the Ravens here, that's really at the heart of Baltimore Positive, to say, how can we lift people? You know, how can we make schools better? How can we make place safer? How can, you know, crime, policing, leadership, money, all of these things that we've talked about so much, just trying to lift the community. And sports has been like an entree to it in some way. And I don't know where the rest of my life's going. I really don't, Blade. Like, that's one of the reasons that I'm doing this. And I even said to my son, I'm like, I'm going to meet some really cool people doing this. So that's why I'm doing it. I want to meet some new cool people and bring the other cool people I brought and the people that aren't so cool. And they come along too, even some you block, mute, go away, leave me alone. Like that all happens. But by and large, when I'm out at a bar stool somewhere, even if people don't like something about my politics or don't like something they heard me say on the radio, they usually find something nice to say. They usually come up and say something about my wife, or they'll find divert. Hey, what's the best crab cake? Or, hey, how about Lamar? Or, hey, I'm glad the Orioles have kind of turned it around. We're one day closer to Angelos not being here. Like, they'll find something nice to say. And I'm appreciative of that. I really am. I mean, we go back to appreciation. People usually find something nice to say. But you do remember the time when a guy threw water in your face or said something nasty to you in front of your wife. Like, all that's happened to me. But it doesn't happen so much lately because I'm not focused on doing that. I'm focused on 100 charities, and I'm focused on, you know, covering sports better than I've ever been able to cover it with the chains off and an observation of sort of all that I see. You know, I mean, getting musicians on the show. I'm getting architects on the show. I'm getting civic developers on the show. You know, just people with something that would have, that's making Baltimore better, making our lives better, the community better, the neighborhoods we live in. You know, it's important.
It's positive, right? Baltimore Positive. And us growing, I mean, I grew up in the city and I want it to be the best it can be. Perfection is unattainable. But like you talked about, progress. Every time we make a little bit of progress to make the city better, that's meaningful. It's little pieces, right? It's what you do over time, a little bit. It's the compound effect. Things that just build on themselves, little by little by little. Next thing you turn around and you've got a great city that's come back from troubled times, but every city has that. Again, there's never going to be perfection. I love what you're doing, and I love the growth that you're looking to do, and the charitable contribution you're looking to make. And this is my platform, not yours. I won't keep you much longer, but take away all the organization, everything about the ownership. How great was the Orioles season?
Well, the movie came out, right? So, look, I was in Arlington, Texas as a media member, and the, you know, being shoved off to the boys' table. My employees' clubhouse access was threatened for simply showing up with me. Major League Baseball has integrity, gives me a press pass. So that was my walkout. Was I was there when it all fell apart. Eating some really good nachos, by the way, if that matters, in Arlington. When Brooks talked about the nachos when we were kids, they got the best nachos there. I'll say that. Not so good with football this week in Dallas. But, you know, for the Orioles in the rebuild and for what Mike Elias has done, if I'm going to talk about it in the, you know, the big picture is he's the genius, right? And they better keep him happy. And the ownership, disgraceful. I mean, as we sit here today, it's Martin Luther King Day, you know, January 15, 2024. So 365 days ago, the owner sat, intimidated the media, wagged his finger, said he was going to open the books, and then spent the whole year. I mean, he had the governor lie for him in September. I don't know what to say about it other than these young guys can play. Rutschman can play. I'm sure Kowser can play. I can't wait for a holiday to play. Henderson can play. Like you know, Rodriguez can pitch. Like I'm hopeful Means will come back. I'm, you know, hopeful that Mullins will go get a big salary at some point. And I'm also hopeful that they'll have grown-ups running the team. And I've seen no sign, dude. Like, I've written Dear John letters. I wrote Dear John Lou letters back when I didn't know they hated each other. And they would put out documents of all of the dirt that their father never – I mean, this is – it's played. It's batshit. I don't know what to say. But it's also crazy they won 101 games. It's crazy they're going to be a favorite. I don't know what it is up at Hollywood Casino. I should figure that out, whether the casinos are into them before Dylan Cease comes to town, or like what they're going to have to give up in a trade to make that happen, because they're not going to spend money, right? And that's sort of where all of this is the Nationals can't even sell their franchise because the whole thing's so entangled with Major League Baseball and dad being sick. And I just think it's a terrible time for them to have limitations, right? I mean, these NFL teams don't ever say, I don't have the money. I don't have the capital. I don't have, they just go try to win. Even if Belichick's going to, you know, wherever he, these guys are trying to win, every one of them. And we see that in the NFL. And we see that everybody kind of takes it hard when they don't win. I think we got so, inured to losing here, right? Like to being awful that like, we can't have nice things. And Adley Rutschman's a nice thing. Gunnar Henderson's a nice thing. But, I mean, they had to finish in last place and be horrific to get these guys. So, and now, like, grown-ups need to manage it financially, you know, over the next couple of years. They need to grow the game. They need to invite people back that they've been jerks to, because they've been jerks to almost everybody. I mean, like, pretty universal. You know, even the people that go down there and spend money are like, yeah, it's been pretty crappy. You know, I spend because of it, and I love baseball. My last name's Aparicio. My God. You know, like I don't want to go to see the baseball games. I mean, I lived down there for 20 years, and they did everything they could do personally, professionally. They were unprofessional. They didn't pay a bill. I mean, I had a $30,000 cut. They didn't pay their bill. So, like, I don't know what to say 18 years later. They are what they are. It is what it smells like. It is what it appears to be. But they also have a lot of talent. They have a baseball genius. And they won a lot of games last year. And you don't have to be good people to win. Like, you know, the Kraft family would be a great example of that. They don't need to clean up their act to win. They can go stumble into 93 wins this year and get hot in October if they have the right thing. And the right thing would be health, good fortune, and all that. But long term, the right thing is like having good people in charge who care about things, who live in the community, who want to build something, who want to connect with people, who want to feel appreciated for the right reasons, not because they think they were born on third and want to convince everybody they hit a triple, you know?
I just tossed you a softball because I knew if I talked about the Orioles, you're going to talk about everything else around it. And I'm glad you did. For me, though, just talking about the product on the field, since 89, I never felt that again since that time. Watching the Orioles play, every game was meaningful. Every game, you're coming back. And it was just a lot of fun. And like you said, long term, to keep the fun going, you're going to have the right people in place.
They sparked the interest. Now the hot dogs have to be good. The parking. Now they have accountability that they've never been good at, Blaine. I mean, just seeing them stumble through the lease, seeing how I was treated 12 weeks ago when I flew to Texas to support them, and the olive branch has been branched. I ain't kissing their ass, and I'm not lying for them. That's the line in the sand. I'm not going to do that with or without a credential, with or without them. They can win 158 games. It won't change how they've treated people and how they still continue to treat people. And I hope that changes. And I'm not going to back down from that. If you want to talk about the team on the field, I mean, they need – it does go back to – dude, it's the off season. They're not playing this week. I don't have anything to talk about like – your long-term signing people. How are you doing on sponsorships? Oh, you're putting patches on your sleeves. That's great. So now you have more money. What are you doing with it? How are you getting people back? What about these caravans? Where's your owner? Where's your president? Put them in front of me. When are they coming to the Crab Cake Tour? Oh, you don't come to my show. Is it the way I smell? Is the color of my skin, my hair? Why don't you come talk to me? Why are you afraid of me? I know a lot about this stuff. I ask fair questions. You know, so there's all of that. But I the bigger picture really is going to be long term what it is for both of these franchises to bring people downtown, other than heart and soul and give me your money for gambling and give me your money to have. When the Ravens got $600 million of civic money, they had some snarky guy in a suit that I'd never seen. It was a great suit. up on a stage that I was banned from as a media member. You know, like PR directors nowhere to be found, and they're on stage getting $600 million worth of money. They pick who asked the questions. It's like Putin. And the guy stands up and says, well, we all know that the beer is colder and the hot dogs taste better inside the perimeter. The perimeter meaning the place we cage you out and make you pay a lot, a premium to get in, a premium to be there, and then a premium for the hot dog and the beer. And in 2024, we're selling this to taxpayers. So they should have more accountability and they should be nicer in general. And I've been pointing that out for a long, long time. So
awesome, dude. I mean, you want to be who you are and tell it like it is. That's what you've always done. So like I said, I'm not going to keep you much longer. Let's recap the charity, what's going on the week of Super Bowl week. Let's talk about again what the places you're going to be so everyone can make a note of that. Give me the
It's February 5th through the 9th. We're calling it the Crab Cake Row, a cup or bowl of soup.
A cup of soup or bowl.
Thank you.
Cup of soup or bowl, right.
Right. Thank you. I'm new to this. I got to work on my shit. Thanks for fixing me. All the information up at Baltimore Positive. We're going to be downtown at Fadley's in Lexington Market. The new Lexington Market just opened for Fadley's, just getting in there on February 5th. That's Monday. Tuesday, 9 to 5, we'll be live all day. Tuesday, we're going to be at Costas in Dundalk. Wednesday, we're going to be at Coco's in Lauraville. Great place, great neighborhood spot. On Thursday, we're going to be out at State Fair in Catonsville. And then on Friday, we're going to be at Pappas in Cockeysville. And hopefully, you know, the Ravens are in the Super Bowl. From my lips to God's ears and you, and when we're taping this and whatever. And if that happens, I think it'll make it even more impactful. We're featuring 100 charities that week. If you have a charity, it's probably the most important thing. I say this to the end. It's like when Zeppelin saves Stairway to Heaven. Ness@BaltimorePositive.com. If you're like Blade and you're sitting on Baltimore Humane Society and you're afraid to reach to me, don't be afraid to reach to me. We still have some space, so reach to me. Ness@BaltimorePositive.com. And if I can't fit you in, I'll put you on the show in April, or we'll do it next year or whatever. But this is sort of an open-ended reach to find the first 100 for the week of February 5th that can make it out. And, you know, pray for good weather for me, Blade, that week. I can't have a snowstorm in Lauraville on Wednesday.
I know. Where is Lauraville?
Lauraville is Harford Road, south, if you think Alameda, east of Alameda, east of Montebello. So if you're just thinking like just where Montebello is, Chesterwood Park, in the city. Okay. It's in the city. It's where Walther, Bel Air, and Harford Road start to narrow down where the parks are, Herring Run Park area. You will find a Lauraville, and that's lovely, lovely Lauraville.
Well, speaking of lovely, Master, you are. I appreciate you coming on here, talking about all the things that you've done in your life and the things you want to do to give back. And like I said, it's about impact, and that impact helps other people believe that they matter. You're making a difference. You always have, you always will, and appreciate you doing that. 100 charities is a noble venture. I'm sure you're going to do it. I have no doubt. And I think we should put it out there that I think you should make that your contest here, that if someone makes you cry, you toss another 100 bucks to the charity.
Bet the over on the 100. Bet the under on the crying.
Thank you, my friend. It's been a pleasure. Appreciate you coming on here, taking some of your valuable time. I'm Mark Brudinski. This is the You Matter Show. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. And remember, you matter. See ya.